This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 51. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books, from epic fantasy to urban fantasy. We've got swords and sorcery, grimdark, you name it, we've got it. It's here on the show. Expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. Shifting gears to my own weekly update, I've been hard at work on a total rewrite of an urban fantasy book and series that I'm collaborating on with another top author, who unfortunately I can't name yet, but you'll just have to be patient for that particular announcement. But, I'm editing, and editing is one of those things that a lot of authors hate. However, I enjoy some aspects of putting the polish on that bare story that I created in the first draft. And my first drafts have a lot of the great elements of the story in there, but it doesn't have what I like to call the polish that makes the story complete. So this is where I take the things in the first draft and I pretty it up, if you will. Hopefully, I'll be able to tell you more about that project soon. So stick around, keep coming back to the podcast, and I'll keep you up to date on that. Next up for me after that is I need to shift gears completely, moving from urban fantasy back into my sci-fi dystopian brain, and finish up book 3 in the Sapiens Run trilogy. It's titled Cybers Underground, and that's going to conclude that series. I'm working hard on getting that finished too and off to the editor because I need to get it to the audiobook narrator so they can start on it soon. Sarah Guise does a great job on the narration of these books, and I'm looking forward to hearing her narrate this book too. If you like audiobooks, by the way, don't forget you can find almost all of my published books available in audio, both for free at your local library, which is kind of cool, or wherever you happen to shop for audiobooks out there. I have my audiobooks in just about every store possible that sells audiobooks in some way, shape, or form online, and so you should be able to find them there. As always, if you're interested in more information on what I'm up to, check out my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, or my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I respond back. So if you leave a comment or anything over in any of those places, I love to chat with you there, and I will definitely respond. All right, so our interview this week is going to be one Dakota Kraut. Dakota's a friend of mine, a hugely successful indie author in the lit RPG fantasy genre. He and I and our wives have traveled this past year and done some great things at an amazing writer's retreat we went to back at the beginning of the year. He is the co-owner and the president of Mountaindale Press. His wife is the CEO, which is something he and I have in common. We put our wives in charge of our business, which is probably a good thing all the way around. Dakota is best known for his best-selling Completionist Chronicles, and that starts with book one called The Ritualist. I'll let Dakota tell us more about that and some of his other projects and goings-on in our interview segment, and that, folks, is coming right up. Well, Dakota Kraut, it is great to have you here on the podcast. Here we are at the Books and Authors Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jamie. It's super awesome to be a part of this. I was really glad when I got your message and really glad I could get on right away.
Well, I'm glad we could too. And, for folks that are like listening in, you and I know each other. We both write in the same genre, for Lit RPG. We both have traveled together with our wives and seen each other at conferences and some other things. So, I don't always know the authors that I have on the show, but it's nice to have somebody that's a friendly face.
Absolutely. And I feel the same way. So great.
Awesome. So for those folks that don't know anything about Dakota Kraut, why don't you give us a quick overview of who you are and how you got started writing?
Sure. So obviously, my name is Dakota Kraut. I am author in the Lit RPG gamelit genre. I got started I had some free time during classes at college, like between classes, I had like 3-hour blocks where it just wasn't worth it to drive to work and go do some work and come back. But also I didn't want to fill that time with, movies or other things that would be more distracting. So I started writing. I only ever intended to put out a single book. But when that first one came out and it was picked up by the genre, I said, oh my goodness, I loved writing that. And if other people are going to read it, I'm absolutely going to just go all in on that. So I did. And 2 years later, about a year ago now, I started Mountaindale Press. So we are a publishing company that currently only publishes lit RPG and gamelit titles. And I think we, depending on who you ask, my wife or myself, we have anywhere from 10 to 14 authors assigned with us right now.
And that's super exciting. And you know, that's got to be like both a little bit of a challenge to have that many authors working with you.
Yes.
And keep track of them. But I think your wife is more than up to the task. You and I both did something smart. We both have our wives as CEOs of our companies.
That's right. I will happily be the visionary and the entrepreneur. But goodness me, I do not have it in me to manage people. You know, like I say, here's what I want, and here's what I'm thinking we need to do to make this happen. And my lovely wife, Danielle, says, okay, well, here's the actual work that's going to need to happen. And then she makes that happen, and I participate where she deems necessary.
It's a smart way to go, and mine's much the same way. I let Amy handle, like, the businessy stuff, and we have, like, regular meetings about what's going on.
Yes.
with what I've spent or not spent or needed to spend or shouldn't have spent. Those kind of conversations. And then she pulls out spreadsheets and does things that I can't even comprehend. And it's like, okay, whatever.
Sure.
So you wrote that first book and kind of were surprised by it. What was the title of that first book that you wrote?
First book I put out was Dungeon Born, with a B. So Dungeon Born. didn't really think through that title when I was first making it, but, It was from the perspective of a dungeon as it tries to lure in adventurers with promises of gold and treasure and power. And so I was an avid game player my whole life, really, and especially tabletop games and D&D. And somehow I could always craft the story really well. So I would always end up as the dungeon master. So eventually... since I live in a college town, all my friends move away or, you know, get jobs in various fields. And so eventually I was just writing out what I was going to be doing for a campaign, and I didn't have anyone else playing. So I just put in all their roles, and it turns out that that's called writing a book. and that's kind of what happened.
Well, you know, it's funny, but there are so many authors I've had on the show that are dungeon masters or word dungeon masters or game masters of one sort or another. And it's that storytelling mode. It all comes back to the same thing. It's crafting at least a loose structure of a story that's enough for the players to dig in and start doing things. And it takes a certain talent to do that.
And it's very fun. And I will say I have the best fans in the world because, you know, that without our fans, obviously, we're, you know, doesn't matter how amazing the book is if no one reads it. So
yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. without readers, we'd be nothing. Although, you know, I do like to think that I'd still write stories or tell stories in some way, shape, or form. I've always been a storyteller.
Right. Yes, absolutely. It's just probably would be while doing something else more full time.
Yeah.
And I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you've gotten in the game lit for people. I think you're probably maybe the second game lit author I've had on the show.
Sure.
So just to refresh people's memory, what would you define? Because this is the big question in the genre, right? What is game lit? What is lit RPG? Are they the same? Are they different? How do you define it?
Sure. So how about, first off, I'll start with how I describe what I write. Because when I'm out in public, right, you know, no matter how many people we have that love our genre, we're still a small genre in the larger pool of readership. And if you go to a place and they say, what do you write? and you say, I write Lit RPG, they're going to either know what you're talking about or have no clue. So typically how I describe, you know, this at conventions or to other people is either as epic fantasy with a sci-fi twist or sci-fi with a fantasy twist, right? And because a lot of it, a lot of what we do is swords and sorcery, you know, it's epic fantasy. It's the hero's journey. It's, you know, all of these common tropes or all these common stories. You know, you pick up a sword and you start swinging it and you get better at it and you eventually go on to do great things. But the difference is what we do in Lit RPG or Gamelit is we quantify that. We say you've swung your sword 10 times, you get +1 to your skill. Now you're going to have to swing it 20 times, right? So it gives you a peek under the hood and gives you exact parameters for how to get better, how to do better, and how to progress throughout the world. While being logical enough that anyone coming in behind you should be able to get the same results for the same amount of effort. Now with the more classical at this point, with the more common terminology for Lit RPG and Gamelit, Lit RPG started first, like the actual term of it started first. It was literary role-playing games. So it's basically people going into video games and role-playing, right? So you go in, but it's, you know, as full novels, of course. And then Gamelit came in and they wanted to be more broad than just having to say be in an RPG. Like maybe you want to be in a shooter. Maybe you want to be in, you know, something else that's not really Lit RPG, that isn't like role-playing games specifically, but like you could still gear up and do better. Maybe it's just the effect of the armor or the weapons, and instead of improving your physical self, and so that's kind of where the discrepancy lies. There's a lot of overlap between the two, and I think it's more just a point of pride for the people that say they are one thing or a different thing. So
I completely agree with you, Dakota, because that answer makes sense to so many people when they look at it. One of the things people are shocked by is the tables, is the statistics, is the, you know, the person's character sheet and how that's worked into the novel. And, you know, some people will have more of those statistics and game notifications or whatever worked in than others. And I think that that's one of those things that's a preference. Some people prefer a lot more of that, of the gaming elements, and other people want a lot more of the epic fantasy story elements. And that, you know, as a writer in the field, that's the big trick, isn't it? I mean, to make a story that's compelling that blends both.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, that's just kind of one of those balance in all things, right? Like, because you have people that read this genre of books specifically because they want to see every step. They want to be able to see that, like, you know, like that you've got +1 to your sword skill, you know, going back to that, or pickpocket, or +1 magic, fire magic, you know, something specific. But then there's a lot of people who started reading it and they realized that a lot of us are just really good story crafters. And so they're looking to us for more modern fantasy style books. So a lot of people will either read those numbers heavily, and that's, you know, they want the more crunchy numbers is what they call it. Is so they go through, and I have people that keep spreadsheets, and like people that I don't know that will contact me after the book is out and tell me that, yeah, hey man, you made a mistake here, page 45, and that's going to alter it here, 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 and here. So you need to change those numbers. And then I have other people that say, I don't read those tables at all. Like I have, but in my books, I do make sure that they have an actual impact on the game. So I have right here in front of me, full sets of dice. You know, Jamie here can confirm that what I do is that as I'm typing away and I'm doing something, I need to do a skill check. I roll the dice. And that actually determines, like based on their skill levels, that actually determines what happens in my books. And that makes it for very convenient or very inconvenient times in some places. You know, my character will die because they failed the skill roll and they blew themselves up. And people will say, hey, man, why did you do that? And I'll say, because he failed. He critically failed. He blew himself up. But it doesn't fit the story. No, but that's the point. In this genre, the system trumps story. The system wins. That's the whole point of this. And then, because it's a video game character a lot of the time, your character can come back to life and you can try again later. And that's one of the beauties of this. I can be much more vicious toward my character and much more realistic with my rules without having to fudge those numbers, because I can always just go back and try again later. Yeah, and it's very fun.
Yeah, it's interesting that you know, you do that, because you're not. Yeah, I've heard other people do that. My stories are much more. I wanted to write stories that I'd always had this idea for a story in a game that dates back to when I read Joel Rosenberg's Guardians of the Flame series back in the 80s, which was the first fantasy series I got my wife hooked on that brought her into the fantasy genre. And it was the story of the D&D club in college that got transported into the world. There were their characters, and they became their characters and ended up stuck there. And that story always remained with me all, you know, from when I was in college moving forward. And so when I discovered Lit RPG, it was like, you know, I'd already been writing for 2 or 3 years. And I was like, oh, my God, finally, I've got an outlet for this idea I've had in the back of my head for all these years.
Right.
And it was, you know, so mine are more like Portal Fantasy, which is that, sure, that idea of, you know, it's almost like The Last Starfighter. You know, they created the game because they needed a hero.
Right.
And that's how Hal gets transported into the Accidental Thief and has to find his way home and then has to come back and then has to go home and then has to come back. and that was a lot of fun. But the biggest challenge, and you know this, was the same thing, was making sure that the character sheet made sense, that the experience points added up, that the hit points added up. At the end of the chapter, the character had to be injured to X amount, you know, when I showed their stat sheet, so that people could say, okay, yeah, they're injured. You know, all the hit points added up and all the damage adds up and everything. And that was the biggest challenge for me, was to make sure that those numbers, I could write the story, but I had to make sure that the game fit into the story. And that was a big challenge for me. And so I have my own Excel wizard here at the house, and she went through and read the story and kept the spreadsheet behind me and would come back and go, no, I don't know, you dropped a decimal point somewhere, and you're off by a factor of 10, and you need to go back and rewrite these two chapters because they didn't level up.
Oh, man, that's rough. It happens, though, it does.
Absolutely. But that's part of the fun of writing in the genre, I think, is to, like you said, the system trumps the story to a certain extent. Even in my world, where it's not technically a game, where he's the only one that can see the game and manipulate the game, but the game mechanics still apply to him. So, right, you know, he has to follow the rules, even though he doesn't want to. And that makes it challenging. So let's jump into your story, because I want to make sure people know about this, because you've got a book coming out and there's time for them to get stuck. Caught up in the story of the Completionist Chronicles. First of all, I'm going to admit something to you. I hadn't started reading this until like yesterday.
No worries.
So I'm so sorry. There's so many books. But I have to say, it has nabbed me right away. Joe's character and the concept of how he's in this virtual reality world and becomes the ritualist in book one. Hooked me right away. And I think people are going to really love this series. I can't wait to get into it. And my goal is to finish. We record a couple weeks ahead of time, but my goal is to get caught up so that I'm there when book four comes out in like a week and a half from now, which will be actually right before this episode is released. So people can get book four if they've already caught up to that point. But tell us a little bit about this story and how you approached it.
Absolutely. So for just I'm going to say mention real quick that the book that's coming out is actually going to be book number 3. On Amazon it shows as book 4, so you are correct, like that's what it shows as, because I did write a side story for one of the characters in the same series, and Amazon does not let you put in so just wanted to get rid of any confusion for anyone. But yeah, so the story, like I'm so glad that you like the opening, because it's always one of those nerve-wracking things, especially when another author is coming in and reading your stuff. It's like, oh boy, I sure hope he likes it. So I started writing this because a lot of the time I feel that utility is overlooked in video games a lot of the time. Essentially, people walk in and they say, I want to pick up the sword and be the, the biggest sword master. I want to start throwing fireballs and eventually drop meteors on people because it's cool. And it is cool, the whole point of these things, typically, of games and all this stuff, is the escapism. It allows you to have that life that you can't have because you'd go to jail very quickly, or there's no magic. it gives you a sense of sense of fun. With Joe, what I was going for was kind of an overlooked class. So he's a ritualist, which is another way of saying utility mage a lot of the time. So he creates these big, very effective spells that take a lot of time to set up, a lot of research, a lot of power and items. So there's no drop of a hat throw a fireball at someone, but he can set down these things that can organize a warehouse, continuously, right? So utility and utility to make eventually things that can change the entire world without, dropping a meteor on it. So the point of that story was to show a very slow growth character in a video game and show how by doing the things he's supposed to do and by, searching out adventure and finding ways to use his abilities in unique ways, he's able to become much more powerful and complete everything that he wants to do. So in so becoming the completionist, right? So he completes everything. Yeah.
I actually think it's a great concept because it's actually how I play video games, and it drives my kids nuts because my kids are like all about how fast can I get to the end of the game?
Right.
And I'm the guy that's like walking around Skyrim, looking under every rock and behind every tree and, hey, what's over there?
I found 19 Nurnroot. Where's that last one?
That's right. I'm that guy. And I always it bugs me if I can't finish some of these side quests, and I'll literally stop and do nothing else but try to find this last piece, and I won't use the cheat sites. I won't use the guidebook that my son always buys when he gets a new game. I'm always like, nope, I'm gonna find it. It's here somewhere.
Nice. And it's fun. It is fun.
I completely understand it. I was so excited when I was hearing how his character was getting set up and the class and stuff and the fact that he was going to have to kind of look around and he was going to have to do all these side quests. I was like, yes, finally.
Yeah, I'm glad. And it seems to resonate with a lot of people, which is really cool for me because, that's just one of those things what we try to do, right? Is we try to say, what can we find that will resonate with the most people? Like, what can we do that's a unique enough concept, but also something that a lot of people can, get on board with, And that's where actually my book with the T-Rex head hands came in, because...
Oh, we're talking about Rexus.
But if you think about it, like what kid has never nom 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 with their hands, right? Right? That's a universal concept, as far as I could tell. So I was just like, as soon as I had that idea to use that, I'm going to credit a friend of mine, Aaron Crash, because he was making a joke about a thing with T-Rex head hands, and it sparked off an entire book in my head. So I got permission from him before I ever started writing, of course, but it was pretty awesome. So
you know, it sounded, as soon as I saw the cover, and you know, I was like, oh my God, this has every inkling of either a dare. Like, I bet you can't write a book about a guy with T-Rex hands. Because I know I would say, oh, you're on. If somebody made a dare like that to me.
No, he's actually one of my favorite characters to write. So you'll see when you get there, if you continue reading in the series. But I impose, like, really harsh penalties for having below average stats and things. So in Ritualist, right, he starts out with really low constitution, with really low strength. And so he's like, he starts out as a 30-year-old guy walking around like bent over. He can take like 20 or 30 steps before he, you know, slaps his knees and whew, okay. You know, and because he just, he's so far below the human average when he starts going. So with the character in Rexxus, and that's Jackson, so he starts and he has very, very low charisma. And so he doesn't realize how his actions are affecting the people around him in negative ways a lot of the time, because the game is actually altering what he hears and what other people hear him say because he has such low charisma. And I will tell you a little spoiler here, just a teeny tiny bit, is that the guy with the T-Rex head hands, he's actually a chiropractor in the books.
Do you have a thing about chiropractors, dude? I mean, you had a bad experience? Is that what you're saying?
Not at all, actually. So that character is entirely based off my brother, who is a chiropractor. I actually have a picture up on my Facebook page of him holding the poster, and you can see that it is him on the poster, because I modeled the character after him as a caricature of him, obviously. Like, he doesn't act that way that he does in the game. Like, it's entirely to poke fun at him. He's a very stable, normal, calm person. And so that's kind of the joke for me.
Oh no, but that's great. I think I'd heard that, but I'd forgotten about it. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think the audience would enjoy hearing that too. Folks, all you have to do is go. I'll have links to Dakota's author page on Amazon, but you can go and scroll down and you'll find Rexxus. You'll see the cover right away. It's a guy literally with two T-Rex heads for hands. I can't wait till I get to that side quest. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a really good book. And, a lot of people were a little leery to pick it up because it is a side story. But it is a full novel in its own right. You don't need to read it to, continue on with the book coming out. It is really fun. And it's kind of crazy. People seem to really like it. So, yeah. Always a shock to me, because I write my heart out, of course, but I'm always still surprised when everyone, you know, is on board with what I write. So just kind of one of those things that always is, you know, shocking to me as an author. Yeah.
So, you know, the book, which is actually book three, not book four, even though Amazon says book four, is Raze.
Yes.
The Completionist Chronicles, book four, but it's really book three. Just want people to understand. That comes out. It'll actually be out by the time this podcast is released. I can imagine that Joe has, you know, progressed on and probably has become pretty powerful at this point in the story. People get to see that whole process through all three books.
Absolutely. Yes. So he grows at a pretty consistent rate. But it's never like fade to black. All of a sudden he comes back and he's so much stronger. There might be some fade to black, but the fade to black is stuff like, all right, I'm going to sit here for the next 12 hours and do research on mathematical proofs, but I'm not going to run the reader through that. It's just, he's going to, you know, stumble out of there and be like, oh my God, my head, I need coffee. You know, I need sleep. This was terrible. So like every bit of progression is very fully and logically explained without being overboard, without like, you know, dragging people through boring material, you know, if that makes sense.
Absolutely does. And that was one of the challenges with Accidental Thief and Accidental Warrior and Accidental Mage, was that every time Hal came back, he had to start over again in a new class and level up from level one again. And the challenge for me was, not to write the same story over again three times. So right. I had to make the classes different enough from each other in how they accrued experience and how that experience was applied to the class itself. And that was kind of fun. That was fun to do. And so that made it so I didn't have to like do that fade to black to kind of carry the story along as much, because I felt it was interesting to see how, wait a minute, this is completely different than what he did as a thief. And you know, the mage thing made me explore the magic mechanics much more so than I ever needed to do for a thief and a warrior class, because heck, all they needed to know was potions and somebody could heal them every now and then. And there was other magic out there that could do stuff if you weren't careful. But you know, the mage had to explore all the elements and all that stuff. So I completely understand. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that people are looking for in this genre. They want to see the understanding of the underlying world. So yeah. we're getting down towards the end, and I want to make sure that we cover everything. What are you working on now? What's the next project in your box of tricks?
Actually, yeah. So I have a whole bunch of really cool stuff coming up quick. You're going to start seeing a lot of books from me very quickly. But the next one coming out after Rays is actually going to be a collaboration between me and James Hunter, who is the author of Viridian Gate Online. So we are putting out a secondary series in the Completionist Chronicles. And this series is really cool right now, because we already actually have it up for pre-order right now. And it's called Bibliomancer. And the point of this story is that we are setting up the direct antagonist to my main character in my main series. So this nice. Is the guy. Yeah. So this is the guy that when my main character, Joe, is having troubles, it's because Sam is over there making that happen. And you get to see that. You get to see his perspective as he's taken my character down. Or you get to see, like, as we progress, you get to see my character fighting against him. And so they're going to be interwoven, but they are going to be separate series in the same universe. It's really, really fun. And then the first one of that is going to come out on September 13th, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's up for pre-order, so I'll make sure we get the links for that from you so we can put that in the show notes for this episode as well, along with the link to Raise. And if for those that want to get started, the Ritualist to get started with the Completionist Chronicles, we'll have links to all that. Dakota, we could keep talking, I think, for another half hour, but I want to leave something for us to cover the next time, because I'm definitely going to have you back on. Maybe what we can do is sometime later in the fall, bring you and James on together.
That'd be awesome.
And we can talk a little bit about everything, and especially the new series.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah, we'd love that. I'm sure he'd be on board with that as well.
Cool.
But yes, until the next time we see each other then.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast.
Thanks for bringing me.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you check out and catch up with us online for a whole lot more from the fantasy-focused community. You can find our Facebook group over on, of course, Facebook, and over at our website at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode. Let me know what's on your mind. Also, over on our fantasy-focus.com website, each podcast episode post also has a link to let you subscribe to the show. Whether you have any kind of various mobile app out there or mobile device, iOS, Android, apps like Stitcher and TuneIn, even email, you can get a way to subscribe using those methods. And it's a great way to make sure you don't miss out on any of our upcoming episodes. That is a lot of good stuff coming, including a great episode with C.F. Wellburn on next week's show, and you want to make sure you check that out. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and on my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. Where, if you want, you can get a free book to check out of mine. Just sign up for the newsletter. There's a link and a form to fill out right there in the right-hand column on the main page at jamiedavisbooks.com. So feel free to do that. Whatever you do, though, subscribe to this show, too, and come back here for the next podcast. And in the meantime, remember to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.